the whole economy is falling apart, and I blame the entire disaster on Oprah. I do, because she tricked women, American women, into buying things they couldn't afford. And that's when I quit watching the show, because the dichotomy in the shows were so ridiculous. Like on Tuesday, she'd come out and go, "Ladies, it's all about Jimmy Choo shoes. You gotta have them. You gotta get them. If you don't know what they are, they're $500 a pair. Totally impractical, right?" And then Wednesday's show, it would be all about credit card debt. And then all these 40-somethings all on the stage bawling their eyes out. And Oprah's like, "Well, do you want to tell me what happened, ladies?" And they're like, "Well, you f***ing told us."
I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. Kathleen Madigan has established herself as one of this country's top comedians in a career spanning over 25 years. This year, she's been nominated for an American Comedy Award in the category of Best Concert Comic. Although she's appeared repeatedly on nearly every major late-night TV show, released albums and DVDs and a Netflix special, and entertained the troops in Afghanistan, her central strength is still the straightforward live stand-up show on stage on an apparently endless tour. That tour will stop at the Holt Center in Eugene on Friday, September 12th, and Kathleen joins me by phone at KLCC. Thanks for taking a few minutes today, Kathleen.
Oh, sure. I'm glad you said the endless tour, because when people say, "Oh, how long is your tour?" I'm like, "Well, so far, 25 years. It's not like a band where I get to take a year off and go think about my next song. Like, we actually work every night.
Stand-up comedy really is an art form that's really raw and basic in that regard. There's no band, as you say, no special effects, no editing. But is that difficulty also what partly draws you to the form?
Yeah, I like doing it by myself. I think it's because I think, too, because I had a lot of siblings. It was kind of every man for himself, and you just like to, like, I like that I live and die all by myself. If I do good, then great, I did well. But if I fail, I'm not failing on behalf of other people. I don't want to fail and then ruin somebody else's day. I'll just ruin my own day. I don't need to be. I used to do an old joke of my act about the figure skating when the people are. I would do it alone because the people in pairs, like, you know, if I was with some guy and we practiced for 20 years and got to the Olympics and out of nowhere he just fell, I mean, I would be tempted to murder that person. I don't even know how you can control your temper. And I would expect to be murdered if I fell. I mean, my siblings would definitely skate over my fingers. I can tell you that.
There's 7 kids in my family. That's too many. We literally drove my mom to drink. This is my impression of my mom's idea of discipline for about a decade. Standing out on the front porch with a drink and a cigarette just going, "So help me, Christ."
How do you manage to keep it fresh for 25 years of straight touring?
I'm still going places I've never been, so that always keeps it interesting. As long as there's something in there where I go, "Oh, that's fun, I've never been there." And then some of the places where I've been going for 20 to 25 years, I actually have, like, lifelong friends there now, so now I don't want to see them. There's always a new reason to go somewhere.
Does that constant motion help you come up with new material as well by providing new perspectives or some other reason?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's new experiences, new perspectives. I mean, usually people go describe your act. I'm like, I would be the lady at the bar that you haven't seen in a year and go, "What happened this year?" And then I would just tell you what I did this year. That's my act. I'm the lady at the bar.
You spent time in Afghanistan entertaining the U.S. troops there. What was the core of that experience for you?
That was, it was me, Lewis Black, and the last one, Robin Williams, went to. And it's some of the best shows you will ever have in your life, because the soldiers are so happy that somebody showed up. You know, because I think people picture, I did anyway, oh, they're at war. But some of them, they just work on the base. It's actually quite mundane, you know, and it's the same thing every day. They can't leave the base. They're not actually in the hills shooting at the Taliban. You know, somebody's got to work in the office. Somebody's got to work in the medical department. Somebody's got to work in the jail. Like, it's a job. It's a mini city. And they wait, you know, half the time if there's sandstorms, our planes were late, you know, or the helicopters couldn't fly. And they would wait in the cold for hours. And they were just so the nicest people ever. It was really, really fun.
This general guy was very nice, and he gave us a big briefing. He was like, "Wow, it's amazing what the United States military is doing in Afghanistan. We're building roads, we're building schools, we just built 6 new fire departments." I was like, "Wow, this is fantastic. When we're done, we should invade Detroit." Thank you.
I would imagine that the passing of Robin Williams brought up memories of that tour as well, if you shared that as well. That seems like a difficult passage for any comic to go through, as well as those of us who just admired Robin Williams from a listening perspective.
Yeah, he was just off stage. He was quiet. He was thoughtful. I mean, he was friendly and he was talkative, but he wasn't like all wound up. Off stage, it was like not the serious Robin, but just this quiet and sweet, like even his voice was soothing. He was just the sweetest guy ever. It was, yeah, I was very, very upset. But, like, he had all this stuff going on. I said, well, he managed it all for 63 years, and he just couldn't take it anymore. So, you know, he managed it for 63 years. A lot of people can't even do that. So cheers to you, Robin, and, you know, and off you go.
And
so.
Thank you for all the amazing gifts, Robin. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
It's not really a fair world in terms of gender issues oftentimes. Have you come across that in the comedy world on a frequent basis?
Not in stand-up comedy. I think stand-up comedy, one of the reasons I love it, is so fair, because you start in a bar and you go on stage, and if you make the people laugh, you will get cash. And then if you do it again, you get some more cash. And the longer you can stand on stage, the more cash you're going to get. There's not a club owner in America that, if it was a woman who was really funny, would say, I don't want to book her because she's a woman. They only care about the money. I will say there is, I think, with network TV, they are more apt to give a show to a funny man than a funny woman. I can name a million guys that have had chances at sitcoms and not that many women, but it's odd because the women succeed. I mean, Roseanne was immensely successful. Brett Butler's show was successful. Ellen, when she had the sitcom, that was successful. So I don't know why they shy away. I guess it's how they add up the, you know, who does the buying. It's all about the advertisers, and I can understand it. I'm just bored with the whole speech because I don't even believe it. But, you know, they believe it, so that's really all that matters.
Comedy is an art form of storytelling then, isn't it?
Well, it depends on whose act you're talking about. I mean, some people, like Bill Cosby, his almost exact storytelling. Then you take a Stephen Wright, and his are just one-liners, and there is no story there. But he's still telling you a story. It's just there's no segues. So is it a traditional story? No, I'd say like Bill Cosby would be a traditional storyteller. I know a couple Irish comics that are traditional story people. And then there's all these other wings and exits off that highway, but everybody's still basically on the same road.
Kathleen Madigan, who will bring her stand-up comedy to the Hult Center in Eugene on Friday, September 12th. For more on her comedy, including further clips of her routines and her CD and DVD releases and her Netflix special, visit KathleenMadigan.com. For information on her Eugene show, HultCenter.org. Kathleen, thanks again so much for your time.
All right, it was great talking to you. I'll see you guys soon.
For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.
But I do love the post office, which is a bit of a dichotomy, because I cannot believe, at this age, I have friends that when they raise the price of a stamp, my friends will go insane. Yeah, young people in their 30s and 40s, it's not old people on a budget, 30-year-olds. Oh my God, they raised the price of stamp. Jesus Christ, this is highway robbery, this federal government, this. Really? It's 49 cents. You're angry about that? Because I feel the exact opposite way. I cannot believe to this day that I can walk into a building with a piece of paper in my hand and look at a full-grown adult and go, hey, 49 cents, will you take this to Alaska?